is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report. Doll Center workers, political drama, and student unions all in a day in Tunis. We are so lucky to be able to come together and visit organizers, activists, leaders, and others who are trying to build organizations and navigate the challenges of empowering people in different countries. The Organizers Forum is close to completing our 18th journey, this time in Tunisia. In the middle of it, the merry-go-round seems endless and exhausting. So I'm going to share a slice of it with you, but I never forget just how amazing it is to share in the experience, regardless of the hurdles. We've steadily faced the communication challenges of a population widely fluent in Arabic and frequently French, but less so English. Confusion often reigns. It started early. One message said, meet at 9, and another at 10. One said, meet at an unknown address and then go to their office. At 8:30 a.m., Eloise Mallet, Acorn's person in Africa based in Douala, Cameroon, in Grenoble, France, sat with me in a lobby and called our contact in French. 10 was the time, and we were to meet in front of a hotel and be led there. The meeting was with the newly formed federation of 8,000 call center and telecom workers in UGTT, part of the larger federation. We met in their new offices. They were as excited about the meeting as we were, filling up the room with 14 to our dozen from the forum. We ended up finding common cause in our issues with Bell Canada, ours having to do with Acorn Canada's Internet for All campaign and the company's resistance, and theirs having to do with problems with their subcontractor. We'll figure something out together, which is a win. We then rushed for the only meeting time available, a cab ride away in the headquarters of NADA, a sometimes ruling party and a force even before the revolution, whose candidate for president had come in third only days before. We met the campaign manager, who was also their research director. No translation needed here. He spoke flawless English after 18 years as a professor in the USA and UK. NADA was proud to have placed first among what it called the classic parties, since neither of the top two winners had any party affiliation or normal campaigns at all. Their support for democracy and its institutions was a constant message point, but the underlying theme was unmistakable. They'd been in government and knew how to govern, and that was essential now in dealing with the economic crisis. It was impossible not to be impressed, even though the message was a mixture of supports for the poor, taxes on informal workers, and neoliberalism for corporate interests. We then hurried back for our meeting with two different student unions who were rumored not to get along too well as competitors. We were supposed to meet someone in front of a cafe at 1:30 p.m. who would walk us to the meeting at 2 p.m. Our second meeting was scheduled for the same cafe at 4:30 p.m. 2 p.m. came and went. No one there. Finally, we found the student leader, but not our guide, on the steps between our main group and our scouts outside. We sat down, and contrary to all of our preparations, he did not speak French, that our colleague, David Tasso from Acorn, Italy, was prepared to translate, but only Arabic. Further delays until past 2:30 p.m. when the original guide showed up who could translate, but instead mainly spoke himself in French. Well enough. He was almost as smooth a politician as the NADA representative had been. They'd won the vast majority of student votes with their 5,000 members. The other groups had polled less than 2%, were nothing. They were not solely Islamist and not a youth group, but worked with everyone, though they liked some more than others. They weren't political, but they were political and encouraging to vote. Quite an impressive performance in his own way. Our delegates could choose. Was he sincere, or had we been spun like a top? The second group was a no-show, and we abandoned the wait after 40 minutes. It turned out our guide, who had dissed them, was also supposedly the contact connected them to us. Maybe we'd been both spun and submarine. Life in the city. We survived well over spaghetti bolognese for some and steak for others in a loud restaurant near our lodging, populated mainly by large men, where the food was excellent, and we could marvel at the fact that smoking was still allowed here in Tunis. All in one long day in Tunis. This is Wade Rathke for questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.